Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills, that we may serve you today, now and always. Amen.
Amen.
Around the villages, I have noticed quite a lot of houses having extensions, some quite big building projects. And it can sometimes look like lots of destruction before the new build comes about. I imagine the owners have to have a lot of faith in the architect, the builders, that the place will meet the drawings and the house will become habitable again and reach the upgrade that they are after. My daughter is putting a lot of faith in her new house builders. She has been promised a new house will be finished for her to move in before Christmas. To be honest, it did say October initially, then it was November, but before Christmas. And this is still on the cards, even though she looked around a month ago and there were no internal walls in. But we do put faith in our architects, the builders, and in our dreams of what the building will offer us. My daughter's dream of bay windows, and of course that will be her place for her Christmas tree to be in this year. In our gospel reading, Jesus hears the people talking about the beauty of the temple, the wonderful adornments of stones and gifts to God. But in the four verses before our reading today, it said, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow was put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had. And now we hear some people talking about the beauty of the building, the stonework, the beautiful stones that adorn it, the many gifts given for its beauty as a gift to God. But this gospel passage points to not the physical building. We love the building, but what it represents, it is even more beautiful. Looking to Paul's letter, well, I feel Paul can sometimes be so challenging in what he writes. His language can actually be quite difficult for me to understand. But verse 13 of the letter today is very clear. In my translation, it said, brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. It can be difficult sometimes, can't it, to just keep doing the right thing. It can be tiring, possibly a financial burden. It can be against the flow of those around us, not just society, but family and friends. But Paul encourages us to keep going, to not grow weary, to not grow weary in doing what is right. And Paul gives us clear examples of what is right. In fact, he speaks of himself and the other evangelists with him. He says that they're not irresponsible. They do not eat without paying. They pay their own way by working. And he comments on some of the other followers who are, what does he say, busybodies and not doing any work. Undoubtedly not liked for that behaviour. Paul says, do your work quietly and earn your own living. I think that is a general cry to us all, not just to those of that time, and not just to those who are preaching at that time, but for us today, work for our rewards. Do not expect reward for doing nothing. God loves us all. He gives freely to us all. That is true. But we do not just say, I'm all right, Jack, and do not only work to help further the kingdom of God. We don't join in with that work of furthering the message of God, to encourage God's love to be received and felt by all. That is the work Paul is talking about. It is good and correct to come and worship, to make our buildings as beautiful as can be. I was still really surprised when I came in and saw during the week, no cobwebs. It really stuck out to me how clean the building looks. It is beautiful to make our buildings as beautiful as possible, to take care of them. But that is only a small part. Jesus didn't come to help us build beautiful show houses like the one that tantalised my daughter. No, Jesus also looked around and made sure the people, all those who live in the community, near and far, that they are well cared for, that they know of his love, his call to all people. To be honest, the community my daughter's house is in was the first thing that drew her to that house, the area, the people. Then she found her space, her plot of land, and decided to live there, to build her house, and to also become part of that community. We are so, so blessed in this benefice, in this part of the country, in this part of the world, to have such lovely historic buildings to come and worship in. Across the benefice, each building, each church is so precious and special in that community. Some people will see these verses in Luke's gospel as warnings of God's punishment for our poor behaviour. But in fact, they point to the truth that in life, disasters do happen. And in all of them, God is not far. He will be with us to sustain us. He will guide us if we let him. He will be with us through them. He will lead us and will indeed transform us to probably even better things. That's what he always, always wanted for us in this world, to live our lives abundantly and joyfully. We need to have faith in our Creator, in our Architect, to love and admire all he has given us, to find ways to add to that beauty in any way we can, and most importantly, to give our all in doing what is right, to not give up on doing what is right, to not grow weary in doing what is right.